We're here today to mourn the loss of Surly number 7. Surly was a good fish, and he liked bingo.
Tim, we've just heard that Surly number 8 has died.
Oh, shit. Well, just throw him in there as well and we'll use the full flush.
Welcome to the Behind Big Brother podcast. It's day 82 in the Big Brother house, and I guess we've had a bit of a hiatus. The true story is that I've had to go into rehab for my addiction to sparkling wine, and I've only just come out. I'm fine, though. Thank you for all your messages of support. And I'm drinking more sparkling wine as per the last 6, 7, 8 podcasts.
Doctor's prescription. So let's jump straight into it. Continuing with our opening gag, Surly dying all the time.
Although I'm a vegetarian, animal rights, I'll sign a petition, I'll stand in a line or whatever. I think it's kind of hilarious. The most hilarious thing is that out of all of the things that producer Alex Mavror responds to us on Twitter and whatnot, he just refuses to answer this one, which we can only assume means that it's true. I mean, yes, it's sad that this fish is dying. And
out of all the rumors that we post on the site, it's like there's really no denying this one. You look at the show and it's clearly a different fish. There is like a revolving door of fish going through that tank. And there's so many things that just don't add up. Like, why would you have an open marine fish tank in a bathroom where aerosols are being sprayed all the time? As far as people have told me, these fish just die at the drop of a hat. Like, the slightest change in chemical composition of the water and they're dead. Like, what? Yeah. I wonder how many fish they've gone through, like whether they had they put aside 10 fish at the very beginning of the season, you know, like risk management, like preparing for the worst, or every time they just go, oh, fuck, we've lost another one. Someone like hops on a bicycle, rides down to the local pet store where the guy behind the counter is like, another puffer fish.
Can you even buy puffer fish? I've never seen one in a fish store. We used to have fish as kids and I've never seen one.
Well, they're specialists, aren't they? That's the whole marine tank thing.
Why does it have to be a pufferfish? Why can't it just be a goldfish or something embarrassing like that? It doesn't. The pufferfish adds nothing to it.
I don't know. I don't know why they chose a fish. And this latest thing with the bingo game, which was appalling. But anyway, it was just a terrible gag. And it made me feel like Surly's just being trotted out for no reason. And then Surly talking to Sonia on stage during the secret show, which we'll get to. That was pretty shit.
It was a bad gag. I think it's just Alex Mavror just wanting to have some time in the sun and have some airtime because he can't be Big Brother because of his accent.
Yes. So in case you didn't know, the executive producer, Alex Mermaima, he does the voice of Surly. And that's why you'll see on his Twitter feed that he just loves to promote when Surly will be on the show. Loves it.
I wonder if he's credited in the closing credits as Surly. Maybe.
The credits will...
R.I.P.
No. Like on the final episode, the credits will be scrolling up the screen. Surly 1, Alex. Surly 2. Surly 22, Alex.
I wonder how many they're up to. I think
it's at least 5 or 6. I've definitely seen at least 5 fish.
How much do you think a puffer fish is? Do you think they've got a budget line for that?
I don't know.
They're pretty expensive. I'm going to Google it. How much is a puffer fish? How much is a puffer fish? Is that what they're called? They're real names.
Some of these fish on this website are $65.
Other puffer fish are only $5.50. That's a...
None of these look like Surly, though.
No.
Oh, wait, that one at the end does.
A common red... Oh, avocado puffer.
Avocado puffer?
They're out of stock at the moment. Big Brother must have bought them all. Oh, see, they look like they're having a really good time in the dark, not in a fully...
Yes, every photo on this website is puffer fish in the dark, which was another point raised. You can't put puffer fish in a very light environment. And going back to the bingo game, that... Surly 8 puffed up, and that's not good for pufferfish. It really stresses their bodies out. And I was kind of thinking about it, and apparently they puff up when they're scared, it was Alex's voice scaring them. There's a speaker in the bottom of the fish tank booming a voice out. No wonder the fish is going to freak out.
Also, that fish must be dead bored in there. It has no other friends to engage with. It's just floating around by itself.
God, yeah, I'd be bored hanging out with Estelle too.
Okay, moving on from Sully, shall we talk about this secret show? I've got to put it out there that the secret show is the first show in a while that I've watched.
Well, okay, well, let's do a recap of all the major events since the last episode.
Okay.
I might have to fill you in on a lot of things.
Great.
Okay, my first note is that there's been 1,000 Sullys, which we've talked about.
Okay, oh, Josh.
Josh's departure from the house. So I think it's been enough time since it happened that we can give an objective opinion on this without people going, stop being so insensitive. Mm. It was a terrible thing that happened to Josh and his family, but I feel that it didn't warrant cancelling the eviction.
I agree. And I've had the same point of view from the beginning. I think that, I just don't see why that should be. Was it out of respect for the housemates? I can't quite remember what the wording was.
They said out of respect for Josh and his family, but Josh wasn't part of the eviction, had nothing to do with the eviction. Frankly, his family would not have cared. They have bigger things to be worrying about than a Big Brother eviction.
Mm. And they donated the money to a charity of his choosing or something, didn't they?
Yeah, that's another kind of contentious issue. I know it's taboo to bag out charities, but people's money were funneled towards Salvation Army, which in recent times has been quite a controversial charity.
Mm. I also think that getting rid of the eviction, like looking at it from an outsider point of view, it just looks as though they went, fuck, we're one housemate down, albeit because of a terrible thing. Or even if a housemate had left of their own accord, they would have still probably cancelled the eviction. Because the whole season is planned out from the very beginning that this is how long it's going to be, this is how many intruders are going to be in it. This is how many housemates we have.
Oh, no, this season was extended. It was originally going to end on the 4th.
Oh, I don't even read our own website. I do remember that. Well, I take back my comments. Still, it was a bit naff. Like, each week, the Big Brother concept and the Big Brother show is put together based on each week, and one housemate might be saved the most the one week, and then the next week she or he will do something to piss the general public off and be voted out the next. Like, that's the nature of the game. So to skip an eviction is kind of gypping a housemate that could have been saved and stayed longer, or could have been evicted and is now still in the house.
Yeah, the fact is, through due process, these certain housemates were nominated this week, and I don't believe they should have been given a free pass because of an unrelated event.
Mm.
A sad event, obviously, but it was completely unrelated. Mm. I don't know. It was a bit odd.
Yeah.
And also odd was when they did the Josh farewell special on Sunday night in place of the eviction, they even did this remixed down-tempo tune. Like, it opened with a black and white screen saying, we give our thoughts and support to Josh's family. And then it opened with the down-tempo remix of the Big Brother theme song. And then they came into the studio and it's Mike Goldman's idiotic voice booming, "Welcome to Dream World!" And it killed the mood completely. It was, yeah, I don't think it was handled very well at all. In conclusion, get rid of Mike Goldman. And then the next major event was the Big Baby task, which I thought was pretty great.
I read a bit of this. I still receive like the notifications on my phone, on Twitter and of forums and stuff. And it seemed like people really enjoyed this task as well. I think we can bag out the task quite a lot, but we can also give them a round of applause.
I thought it was a fair bit better than the second house task, to be honest.
Hmm. The second house task was my favorite task for the first day. Like I had something in my notes here about like favorite Big Brother moments so far. And the second house announcement to the housemates definitely gave me that old school, like, exciting Big Brother feeling. They've never, like, this is new. This is something different. But then the rest of the task was a complete borry. But you think Big Baby's better as a whole?
As a whole, I think Big Baby was better because the second house task fizzled out really badly.
Yeah, and the end was a disaster. The end was not executed well at all.
My favorite part of the Big Baby task was near the very beginning, Sam and Layla were called to look after Big Baby, and Big Brother said to them, oh, Big Baby needs to be taken into the bedroom and laid down on a bed and comforted, and then Big Baby will stop crying. And then Sam, I don't think he's ready for fatherhood just yet because, I mean, he's 21. He's like a muscle guy. I'm sure he likes to go out and play the field. He took Big Baby to bed and his natural reaction was to spoon it. I'm like, no, Sam, no. You do not spoon your child.
Actually, speaking of Sam, and it was in the Secrets show, his friends, when they came on, just these two meatheads, one of them said, the surf's been really good since you've been gone.
And I've been lifting, I've been lifting really good as well. Good for you.
What? Great.
Okay, skipping ahead, the unwanted guests task. Now, this was another one of those tasks that I have really mixed feelings about. Half of it was fantastic. The other half was terrible, much like the second house task. Most of it I enjoyed, but Ryan Fitzgerald in the house just killed it. Again, Ryan Fitzgerald.
When will they stop using him? I understand he's a media personality now, but look at other Big Brother personalities like Nathan, who now does the breakfast show on Nova in Perth. They don't wheel him out at every opportunity.
That's because it's Perth. But they were really starting to show their age.
The old housemates.
Yeah, especially Frizy. He's going bald.
Didn't he always have a shaved head?
Yeah, he had receding hairline and he covered that up with...
caps. Did he wear hats? I mean, as in hats.
No, he shaved his head.
Oh, right.
But it's really showing now. He's really getting on in years. Hopefully he becomes irrelevant soon and is just shuffled off to the oldies radio station. But my favourite part of that bit was seeing him be ignored. Him just walking around the house going, hey guys, how are you going? Let's play some cricket. And all the housemates going, If only the rest of Australia did that.
They probably had no idea who he was. Like, they're all so young in there, aside from Ben.
Well, yeah, I was thinking about it. And for the first two or three seasons, it's been 10 years now.
That's a long time. Also, people forget. Like, you might see a person like that, but you might not recognize where you know them from or what made them popular. I think to a lot of people, Frizy and a bunch of those people are just popular radio personalities, and they probably worked really hard to make it not about them being in Big Brother.
Yeah, but then they ruin that again by going on Big Brother and saying, oh, remember when we were in here? I mean, come on.
Or doing the radio task.
Yeah. And also a lot of them got fat. Pete Timms, Trevor.
I did see a photo.
They bloated out a bit.
And another one where they just wheeled Mike Goldman out again and he was just posting on Twitter. Get rid of him.
Anyway, the other part was, you might not have seen this, but Ray came back into the house.
Oh, no, I didn't.
For a very short time. He was in the kitchen and he was sort of hovering around Ben for a fair bit. But Ray, being the empty-headed Neanderthal that he is, he had a very obvious earpiece. He was wearing an earpiece and being directed by the Big Brother staff on what to do. You could see it clear as day, like this secret service agent earpiece, like stuck in his ear, and the cord was hidden around the back of his neck. So stupid. But on the positive side of that task, there were some really great moments, like when the Japanese tourists all jumped into the house going, oh, Big Brother house, cheers. And those two little cam whore girls, like I think proteges of Little Sis, they were jumping around going, oh, I want to get a brother photo next to Sam. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And posing. It was hilarious. It was very MySpace. And then we move on to Stacey's eviction.
Were you surprised about her going?
It was really hard to say because Stacey had never been nominated before and she was up against Bulletproof Estelle and her legion of fans.
What did Zoe call her? The Estelle... Oh, Zoe had a really good word for it. I can't recall what it was. I think also with Stacey, she didn't get a lot of showtime to herself. It was always her with Ben or her with other housemates. There wasn't a lot of Stacey in the diary room, and not that I'll ever watch the entire thing again and add it all up, but I feel like she didn't get a lot of time to shine as a person. And so with this vote, we've talked about it before, with this vote to save, other housemates who do get more airtime have the opportunity to gain more of those votes, as opposed to just, no, I don't want this person to leave, so I'll vote to evict the others. I mean, I like the idea of vote to save, and I also like the idea of vote to evict. I think they're quite similar, but they evict different housemates. If the same thing was used for the one eviction, I think the results would be very different. Like if they had a vote to evict and a vote to save and compared the two, I think they would not pick the same housemate every time.
Well, it's been very obvious in the betting odds. In previous seasons, whether it was vote to evict, the betting odds would predict it every single time.
Yeah.
And they've been wrong about Estelle every single time this season.
What do you think it is about Estelle? Why did she shoot up, or why is she now? Why is she still there?
I think it's because in the earlier weeks of the season, all the housemates are a bit sick of her and were very annoyed by her. I know that I would have gotten annoyed if I was living with her. And people collectively getting annoyed by her was branded as bullying. Mm. And at that very moment in time, bullying was a very hot topic. If you remember, like, the News Limited newspapers were doing the Stop the Trolls campaign. Bullying was just this buzzword going around. Kids were fighting each other and putting on YouTube. It was the scapegoat for society decaying at the edges. Mm. So everyone had this bullying mindset about them and applied it to Estelle. And now she's just, it's been a snowball of sympathy votes nonstop.
Yeah. I think also with Estelle, this is from purely an outside view and purely from watching the show, that it's clear that she annoys the other housemates and she gives them the irrits. But other than being a bit whiny, she doesn't actually do things like, she's not going out and destroying people's property, or she's not really pissing people off. It just seems to be this slow burn thing of, you know, you have those friends that they don't do anything to piss you off, but just they do, like just them in condensed amounts of time, or just across the entire friendship lifetime that you've known them. And so I think Estelle is like that. And so it's quite hard for the producers to piece together things to show why the housemates are reacting. And I know when I was doing a lot of recapping, and when Estelle was really, really being hammered by the other housemates, I found it really hard to try and articulate what it was that caused this flare up. Often the housemates would just flare up around her or something that she had done. But when you kind of type it out and you're typing out dialogue between housemates, it doesn't really make any sense, or the reaction seems really out of the ordinary. And it may be because we're not, because of that whole family friendly thing, which we harp on about, but also I think she just gives everyone the irrits generally. And so to the public, she doesn't actually seem that bad. Like why, just because the housemates are nominating her, why should she be evicted? And that's one thing I like about Big Brother, is that someone can get nominated so often and the public don't vote that housemate out. And so it must send the housemates into a spin. Like, are they seeing it? They must wonder, like, are the public seeing something different, or are they just trying to give us a really, really hard time by keeping her in? Is she good value?
Public aren't living with her.
That's the thing. I think if the public were living with her, she would be gone. But because they don't have to, it's almost this really interesting under a microscope thing to watch, which is kind of part of that Big Brother experience, I guess, or part of why I really enjoy the show still to this day.
Let's park this topic, because I, later on in the podcast, I want to talk about Estelle's psychotic fan base. But yeah, we'll move on with our recap. So the most recent major event has been the Secrets show, which I really enjoyed for the most part. I'm of, like everything else with Big Brother, I have criticisms of little parts of the show.
It's what we do.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a new, very new concept. I haven't watched International Big Brother episodes for a little while, so I'm not sure if this has been pulled from somewhere else, but it was a completely new format for Big Brother Australia, and I think it worked quite well.
Yeah, it's a pretty good idea, and it is a nice execution of that shh, everyone's got a secret shh thing, which we saw at the beginning, which was executed really, really badly in those first weeks of pick the secret, whatever. Like, this should have been...
This
should have been the Secrets concept, and it should have waited until this long to come out and been this constant reminder the whole time, except they just wanted to grab so much. They just wanted to grab a huge piece of the ratings pie to begin with and start off so strong so they could present to the board of Channel 9 or whatever and say, look what we've done. You've spent all of this money and now it's paying off. Whereas this is the true crux of a Secrets thing.
That's completely true. I agree so much. This show flowed very well. It was so easy to take in. It was emotional. It was a nice little journey into the housemates. Mm. Whereas
and a nice recap as well on everything. Like, that past 80 days.
Yeah, and if you compare it to the Secrets Revealed shows from the first 2 weeks, they were very jolty, very big housemates, stand over here, housemates, guess three secrets. And then when they got it wrong, they got it right, ding, housemates, return to the seats. It was very just like, move here, move there, listen to this, here's the secret, revealed it now. Whereas this just flowed nicely.
I guess you do have to give them a bit of flack. They haven't done it in many years and the whole team might not have known how to... yeah, I agree, but after so long with... I mean, a lot of the production staff are returning staff, but it would have been interesting to see how housemates react now compared to way back when the idea was still new and everyone wasn't so savvy about how the show worked. But anyway, I digress. The Secret
Well,
show.
A lot of people have been wondering now because Big Brother 2013 is pretty much a sure thing.
Oh, yeah. I want to talk about that.
They've used up a lot of potential twists this season now. You can't do the second house. You can't do Secrets anymore. Secrets has been blown up now.
If they do Secrets again, I will refuse to watch it.
And the housemates going into Big Brother 2013 will know. It will be clear and it will be fresh in their minds that Big Brother will potentially show their diary room footage to the other housemates. Yeah. So what impact will that have on new diary room footage?
That's something I wanted to talk about, actually, because in every, at least Australian Big Brother, and even in my experience of watching international Big Brother, nominations are sacred. Big Brother might show or tell housemates who has nominated who, but never show footage from that experience. And this Big Brother broke that rule. And we have mentioned it before how nominations is not something to be messed with. And I think that it absolutely shouldn't be. But they are really going to have to put their minds to it for the next however many months it is planning this season. They're probably already doing it. And actually there was someone mentioned somewhere that all of the Big Brother executive producers come together once a year and discuss ideas and that kind of thing. Whether or not
I don't know if that actually
it sounds like an email chain with a reply all. all that. I've got this great idea. I had this idea when I was on the shitter today. But they are really going to need to pull some big things like reality TV. I've got written on here, is Big Brother relevant anymore? Is reality TV in general? Yes, I think reality TV is relevant, but I think they've got to keep pushing the envelope, especially with a show like this, which costs a lot of money. It goes for a really long time, so you have to keep viewers engaged. You need to keep pushing the envelope.
Family Friendly is not compatible with pushing the envelope.
But how much can we say that? With it coming back in Channel 9 again, I don't think Channel 9's whole spiel is Family Friendly.
Actually, you know what? I think 2013 is going to be fairly different.
Get back, Gretel.
Bring back Grail, bring back... There's been a bit of a shift. If you compare early episodes of Big Brother to now, there is a...
this season?
Yes. Yeah, okay. There's a lot more... Remember this on previous episode of the podcast? Under the Doona action, there's been a lot more of that lately. Mm. And remember when we pointed out that you never see alcohol? You see it now.
Yeah, they were slopping the goons down on the Secret Show.
Yes, you see a lot of goon being slopped down on The Daily Show now.
Maybe the Channel 9... Who's that? What's that guy who we did the petition for? Oh, I can't remember his name.
Mr. Anonymous Suit.
Mr. Anonymous Man with Suit and lots of cred. Maybe he is now open to the idea of Big Brother being what it is, and that audiences now... I'm a firm believer that audiences now don't necessarily want the family-friendly thing.
Going back to the Secret Show, the few extra notes I have, very important things. The first note is that Sam's shirt during that show was heinous. I don't know where he picked it up from.
Horrific, and it hasn't been on the show before either.
Like, no,
were they given new clothes?
Quite possibly, from Cotton On. The second note I have is that I saw Zoe's puss when she got up from the couch to move.
The first to move into
into the nominations room. Yeah. She had her legs together, nice lady legs together. If you remember back to when Sam did his speed dates and they're all like going, oh, Angie, lady legs. Zoe had the lady legs going, but then when she went to stand up, they separated. And we had nice high definition zoom in there. Watch Go Channel for the repeats. It's in high definition. The whole thing was set out to look like The Last Supper, which was really odd.
Other than the fact that they got to drink and you saw them getting progressively drunker and drunker because the wine was free-flowing.
And Layla and Sam kept kissing more and more towards the end of the episode.
And lots of close-ups of it.
You've already mentioned this, but I've got a note about Sam's friends being just like Sam. Actually, Sam's secrets package was the most controversial, where he said that he would nominate Layla if need be. And weirdly, Estelle was more offended than Layla.
Yeah, Estelle seemed to actually take all of the secrets about everyone quite personally. I think that she sees everyone as her friend and as, yeah, she really does actually feel for them, even though they've been relatively terrible to her, and takes it quite personally. What I didn't like is the family things, like such and such got married. What, they had a shotgun wedding?
And some of it was really quite non-news, like Joanne and Frank moved in together. Oh my God.
Like, I can understand the football scores or the whatever soccer scores. Like, if someone's really dedicated to that, like Michael, that makes sense. And the one where, like, in Michael's package where Michael's friend said such and such broke into your house and had a party.
I don't think that actually happened.
Also, what? That's not...
He didn't seem very distraught about his house being broken into.
No, it sounded like something that he would do every other night or something he would be proud of. It was a good show, though, and it was a nice change from nominations, I think, as well, to put it on a Monday night and to give viewers something else and to see housemates, to see some live footage of the housemates and see them react. And, yeah, it ran over time, but you got to see some live footage. They masquerade live footage on the website, but it's not. It's been edited by probably about 16 different people before it gets online, whereas this is the housemates then. Like, they can't really cut...
We saw some live and raw disgusting footage of Layla and Sam having really, really awkward kisses.
Do you think they're boned yet?
I don't know. Well, that brings me to the next topic that I have more recently, this weird relationship between Michelle, Michael and Estelle.
Yeah, where has this come from?
Oh, actually, I said Michelle because there's this running joke on the forums now that if Michael and Estelle had a baby, it would be Michelle.
Do you think something has happened there where he... Do you think he is smart enough to think, okay, she's been saved?
No, I don't think any of them are smart enough to be viewing this. They've been in this isolated environment for, 80 days now?
Yeah, and he just needs some puss.
Yeah. And someone made a note, I think it was on the forums, give the man a break, he hasn't fapped in 80 days. So yeah, fair enough.
I think that sums it up.
I think when you're in such close confinement with somebody, the person that you were bitching about 2 weeks ago is suddenly the one that you want to hook up with.
Yeah.
And the first hint of this was Zoe saying, oh, I'm starting to get feelings for Michael and I never had feelings for him before. Well, that's because there's no other available men in the house.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's it's part of the human condition. Like, if you're stuck on an island, you're probably going to bone that person to continue the species. Because, like, you're stuck in there forever. What I'm not enjoying at the moment is the... so much input from the outside, and I know I always, always, always talk about it, but for the secrets task, I think it's great, like as a one-off type of thing, but the bringing the parents in for nominations and that kind of thing, like you could see how much it upset or made the housemates happy to see their loved ones, but really,
well,
does that make good television?
I feel it's fallen into two categories. With the ignore the unwanted guests task, it was fine for having the loved ones come and do the nominations. I did like that because there was no contact. I did not like Layla having time in the diary room with her dad. Not good.
And it doesn't make great TV to see two people crying and hugging.
I think it's a bit different in where there was all these old housemates coming into the house and all these like the Japanese tourists and that kids sporting team. That's different. That wasn't really input from the outside, except when that kid ran up to Zoe and goes, how's Michael? I heard you have a crush on Michael. That was good. That kid was coached to do that, obviously. Yeah, yeah. That was great. But what I'm not liking is that video messages from home are being thrown out like candy. Like, literally two housemates get them a week for no reason. Not good. And I know that Big Brother throws the housemates a lot of treats towards the end. It keeps them from descending into complete fights where they rip each other's hearts out because they're bitching so much. Too much information from the outside.
And what are they going to show? One of my favourite bits of every season of Big Brother has been at the end where they show the final two housemates packages from the outside that have their family and their friends. And think back to, who was it? Regina and Chrissy, who I think they got put in the backyard, and they hadn't heard anything from any of their loved ones. And then there was bits from Regina's husband and a bit from Chrissy's friends. And it was just a really nice welcoming them back into what is just about to happen when they finally leave those doors. What are they going to put together in this? Remember that year they did the Sandra Sully? She presented all the news that had gone on for the last few months. Like, that, they know who won the football. Like, all that relevant information that those housemates are interested in.
They already know.
Although I don't think Michael's been told about that. He did make a funny comment. Are the Labour Party not the worst human beings on earth at the moment? That was quite funny. Contentious issue.
But they're getting a lot of rewards in general. I think too much.
They suddenly get treated all the time, and it's not, you never see them begging for booze, but they do get treated with costumes and food and
all. Well, they're not begging for booze because they're probably getting it. We just don't see it. But the naughty corner has become the nice corner.
Yeah.
Whenever Big Brother wants to try and shake things up, they bring two housemates into the nice corner. For example, Estelle and Sam, because apparently, like, it appeared as if Estelle was flirting with Sam at some point. So they put them... Throw them in a room together. But you've been doing that all season, so let's try and find a new way to shake things up. David has been completely off the Big Brother radar for quite some time, and I admittedly had a lull where I did not watch the show for a little while. Running a Big Brother website, you do get burnout after about a month, and you do have a hiatus, but I have watched literally 4 weeks of Big Brother in 2 days. Don't ask me how it's possible, but there's certain things that you notice when you watch Big Brother in high acceleration.
Yeah.
And my first note that I have down here is about Michael's butt crack. There is a lot of crack. And I was trying to formulate a way to try and measure this. And if you were to count the centimeters of crack showing from Michael throughout the entire season, it would probably be about up to 10 kilometers. 10 kilometers of butt crack.
10 kilometers of crack. There should be a compilation put together for his eviction package of how much his crack was out. Also, he's not that overweight. Like, he's a chubby kind of guy, but he's not that fat. Like, that crack is purposefully out.
It's not, he would obviously feel a breeze coming through. And there's been footage of him on the treadmill with the crack showing and
with
everything.
The crack showing, yeah. Maybe and it's like, his thing, it's his shtick.
When you're moving on a treadmill, you feel like, move. Yeah.
Mm.
The other big topic at the moment is how psychotic the fans are getting.
Talking specifically about the Behind Big Brother forums.
Yes, about the Behind Big Brother forums. No, but in general, on the official Big Brother Facebook page, fans are getting crazy. And admittedly, Estelle fans are the worst.
Do you think crazier than in previous years?
Yeah, I definitely do. Okay. It's not just Estelle. Ben's fans, Layla's, yeah. And the hatred towards Zoe this week has been toxic.
Especially after that hitting of the horse thing, which I found hilarious.
Like, yeah, I thought it was quite funny.
Yeah, she destroyed someone's property, but also it was hilarious.
She had every reason. Like,
I think the psychotic fans thing comes from, yeah, here we are again talking about it, the family friendly thing. And when you reduce your audience demographic to the demographic of 14-year-olds and 14-year-old girls, that's what you get.
I don't think it's just 14-year-old girls. I think it's just, in general, people are getting far more emotional about something that is not that important.
Mm. There is also that sense of entitlement with a show like this. And the same thing happens with MasterChef and those extended period reality TV shows. And Australian Idol and X Factor and that kind of thing, where we're talking about actual people who, they're not characters, they're accessible in someone's dream, that you could bump into them into the street and they could be your husband or your lover or whatever. And people see, because they've spent this time in front of their television or in front of their computer screen watching it, this sense of entitlement, or that they know this person when you actually don't.
So there was this thread on the Behind Big Brother forums where it was revealed that George has been doing a lot of events with Angie outside of the house. And it turns out Goon, one of our staff members from the forums, told us that George has sort of made it clear on his Twitter that he's hanging out in the Gold Coast for quite a bit. And Angie is obviously from the Gold Coast, so she's there with him, and that's the reason why they're hanging out a lot. Layla's family have just moved to the Gold Coast, so she'll be in the Gold Coast too. And Sam is also from the Gold Coast. So the four of them are kind of going to be in the same area. And to me, it sounded like a great premise for a spin-off reality TV show, a la The Shire or The Hills.
Something for the off-season.
Layla and George have history. Layla and Sam have history. Angie was, like, just sliding off her chair about Sam when he first came in. There's so much sexual tension there.
There's potential as well.
Yeah, so much potential for a show. But I think that Channel 9 might have already stolen my idea, because we've got this, like, footage, this secret footage from their 2013 show reel, and it kind of touches on the same idea. Hi, I'm Angie.
Hi, Big Brother.
I've just spent a few months in a very unconventional house.
It's time to go. Angie!
But now I'm heading home to the Gold Coast, and I'm bringing some new friends with me. Sam.
Layla is definitely a girl that I'd like to talk to a little bit more. I don't want Georgie to think that I'm intruding, which, I mean, I have, but whatever.
Layla.
I just make things worse by avoiding them. I know I do. This is me. But then it gets worse in spirals. So maybe I am best having a conversation, but I don't know how to start it.
And George.
God, I actually realise how we're actually crazy, eh?
And while we're starting our new lives together, you can't always escape the drama.
I've got a burn.
No, yeah. That side.
Yeah, well, whatever.
This is our highs.
I'd have to go more honest, Big Brother, for the fact that we're all becoming much closer.
And our lows.
Do you want to keep going?
Why have you got a massive hickey on your nose?
You know what? I've done the mature thing. I walked away. Do you want to have a go at me? Have a go at me.
This is Big Brother. What we did next. I don't think that sounded like Angie at all, but whatever.
She's clearly been getting some vocal training, and she can now enunciate her words much better than ever before. You know what? That's actually something I'd probably watch. It'd be relatively interesting to see what the housemates did afterwards.
The Shire was the best show of 2012. I'm putting it out there right now. Thank you.